This is Michelle Moreland with Variety Radio Online. Today I have with me Aaron Cahill, and we're going to talk about the movie Cut to the Chase. This is a film by Blaine Weaver, and we're very excited for Blaine, and this is a very great Louisiana thriller. Erin has an amazing list of shows. She has done a lot of things that we're great fans of. She's done Power Rangers. She has done Boogeyman 3, Fast Track. More recently, The Watcher. And also, she's been in lots of shows that you guys as fans love, General Hospital, Supernatural, How I Met Your Mother, Saving Grace, Castle, NCIS. I think I can go on and on with you, Erin. Your list is amazing of some of the shows you've got to be on. And so it's just an amazing career, and we're very excited to have you. So welcome, Erin.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
So first of all, let's tell the fans a little bit about your character, Isabel, and let's cut to the chase.
Well, first of all, thank you for that lovely intro. That was just so great. As you were saying it, I was like, oh my goodness, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know if you've gotten to see the movie yet. Oh, you did get to see the movie. Great. So, as you know, it's just a great film. I feel so lucky to be part of this movie. Isn't it just, I mean, it hits all the right notes, and Blaine is so charming. My husband said it's like Mel Gibson back in his heyday, you know, back in The Lethal Weapon, like, you know, you're rooting for him, but then sometimes you're like, don't do that. Yeah, right? Doesn't he so remind you of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it keeps you on the edge of your feet the whole time. It hits every emotion.
The whole time. Even when you're laughing, you're like still scared or on the edge of your seat. That's a really good way to put it. But I play Isabel Chase, or Izzy for short. And I play Blaine Weaver's sister. And it's just, she's such a great character because she's full of surprises. But she's really, you know, she's got a big heart and she's very accessible. And I really loved playing her, and I loved playing brother and sister with Blaine because we kind of are like brother and sister a little bit. So it was really easy to slide into that.
With this character, she had to draw from several different emotions because I think that not only is she intelligent in the movie as they portray her as a character, but she's the very supportive and loving sister. And also she's kind of stuck with, for the lack of saving some of our audience, a spoiler, she's with a psycho some. So tell us about some of the emotions that you went through as a character, as a person getting into that character, because you did a great job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was such a gift of a role because, you know, sometimes you play certain things, you get kind of typecast in a certain way. And then to get to be able to play, like you said, all those roller coaster of emotions was such a blast. And yeah, I got to, you know, I got to go from being kind of like, he's such a screw up, Blaine's character, a lovable screw up. My God, you root for him like nobody's business. But to, you know, to have that like brotherly, sisterly love and that kind of unconditional love you have for a sibling where you would just do anything for them. But also, you know, that kind of love where you're like, listen, I will kill you. Just stop it. You know, and then so to have that kind of dynamic and that relationship, but then to go, you know, to go into other relationships, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to say there was some fun stuff there that I got to. And I've never done anything like that on camera, if you know what I'm saying. And then as far as like being, you know, the fear and stuff, it was super fun because like my very first scene, my very first thing I ever did on this movie was the when I say they're gonna kill you, you know, when I'm looking right down the barrel of the lens and want to say what it is, but that moment, it's a trailer, so I feel like I could say that without a spoiler, that moment was the very first thing I did on set, so it was super fun because I had to just go there from the get-go. So the days when I got to do just like normal talking scenes, like talking to my brother, I was like, this is easy.
No, that's true. Was there anything that with this movie that you had to dig deep with or struggle with? Anything you had to overcome as an actress?
Oh, I love that question. I mean, Izzy's pretty close to me. I used a lot of myself for her, and she's just, I just love portraying her. I mean, there's always challenges on set to find the little moments and find the moments of truth and the big moments. And yeah, I think it was all a really good challenge in using enough of me, but also, you know, letting her be her. And, you know, and then it was Blaine Weaver made that movie look like millions of dollars. And that was certainly not the budget. Yes. And so to have the product come out of what, you know, he was able to do, that was a beautiful challenge. Cause it was like, okay, we got like two takes. Let's rehearse it. Go, you know? And then he's so clear about, you know, if he got it, he's like, good, got it. We're good. And you're like, oh, wait, what? We don't do eight more takes. Okay, let's do it. You know? So it was a beautiful challenge, and she's more accessible to me than other characters have been. So I feel like it was a beautiful balance.
Oh, that's neat. I thought, I felt like you saying that it did somewhat come natural for you. You felt like, I mean, you were her for me. So, you know, and of course he was Max. He was amazing. But I mean, it was easy to fall in love with all the characters in this movie. I thought every one of you guys did really brought to life what Blaine wanted to come to life. Yes.
Oh, thank you so much.
So filming on location, I know you were in Louisiana. How was that?
Ooh.
What did you enjoy about Louisiana and filming in his hometown?
Let me tell you, first of all, I love the South. I was made in New York, but I grew up in Virginia. I've worked a lot in the South. I just love Louisiana. And I love the heat. So everybody's like, oh, it's so hot in Louisiana. I'm like, yeah. Oh, I love it. And I love the food and I love the culture and I love the people. And, you know, it's so green. And I just, you know, my heart is really in the South. And I got to say, you know, being there, it was such an intimate production because Blaine was just calling in favors, you know, a lot and saying, can we use your, you know, your house for this? Or, you know, like the people doing the crafty were also in the movie. And then his mom would be craft service a lot of time. Like, it was such a family affair. It really is kind of, you know, dream filmmaking to have a familial experience in a beautiful place. And we'd be doing really quality work that, like, with a beautiful story. It was a golden experience. And like you said, I've been around, I've been doing it a while. And I have a decent amount to compare it to, not, you know,
right.
And it really was a golden experience in my life. I'd go back there and shoot another one in a heartbeat. I always tell Blaine Weaver, I'm like, I will follow you right off a cliff. So don't go off any.
I think he would be easy to follow because he just has – I've interviewed him several times too, and he just has such a beautiful personality that, I think it would be hard not to follow him over.
I mean, don't you just love him?
Yes. Yes, and I've never met him, and I'm in love with him. Yeah. Well, this movie, the one thing I thought, and I know you've seen it and everything because you guys have been doing a couple of little premieres. Congratulations on New York this week. Or last week, sorry.
Oh, thank you.
Oh gosh, the week's flown by. Tuesday. Yes, you guys were up there Tuesday.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I thought the graphics of how he used different color tints and his angles and just overall the production for such a short period of time and budget was amazing. With the filming of it, as you watched it afterwards, what were some things stood out to you that technically I thought was just amazing?
Wow. Okay. First of all, thank you. Secondly, we've just got an amazing producerial team. Chris Lyon, Mindy Bledsoe, they're masters at, you know, doing what Blaine did, which is taking $100 day, or I mean, not really, that's exaggerating, but you know what I mean? And making it look like $150,000 set that, you know, they just are really, really, really incredible. And our DP, Rob Senska, just what he sees. And so between him and Blaine, and they had this shorthand, and if one of them had an idea, the other one would go, oh, how about this? And they would one-up it, and they would just partner together to make these beautiful moments and capture these beautiful angles, and it told the story so well. And I love, you know, there were a couple scenes between Blaine and I when we did it in one take because it was a two shot, and I was like, oh, that's just good storytelling. You know, you don't really get that anymore with coverage and lighting and all this. And it was just, I was so impressed with the team as a whole. I mean, Blaine is our fearless leader. Blaine's, you know, my captain. But you know, everybody really rose to meet him and elevated him. So I'm like in love with these people. They're forever family now.
Yeah, you could feel that. I think you saying that, it truly felt that way through the movie. I know, it's partially a job, but, you know, you could tell everyone really put their heart and soul into each character, and it just felt so strong as it, you know, as it came across the film, and that's what makes it so amazing. So I'm so excited for you guys. So I have a couple other little quick questions. Over your career.
Oh, yeah, anything.
Tell us, if you can think of something, a fun behind-the-scenes moment. And it can be from any show, but something that just has always stood out in your mind that, you know, is just behind the scene, either a joke or something that happened, a prank, or something that just behind the scene that you were like, of course, fans wouldn't be able to see or know on any show that you were doing. So there's something that jumps out at you. I know you probably have a ton, but you have to think.
Okay, can I pick two?
Yep. Absolutely. Fans love this. So, yes.
Well, I'll give one to my Supernatural, you know, because it's such a big show and the fans are so, so loyal.
They are. And that's a mess of a crew.
I mean, right? They're just amazing. They're amazing. So I was working on Supernatural and I had a movie premiere in LA of a movie I did. It was at a movie theater called the Arclight, which is kind of one of our bigger ones. And it was in the LA Film Festival. And we were premiering on a Friday night. There were photographers. It was like, and I was the lead of the film. And so it was kind of a big deal. So I asked the producers of Supernatural, hey guys, can I go back to LA? Because I had off Friday through the following, I wasn't filming till the following Wednesday, I believe it was. So they were like, oh, sure, sure. Because I was like, you know, you guys will save money. Just fly me coach. You know, don't worry about putting me up in this fancy hotel. I'll check out and check back in. It'll be better for you. And they were like, you know what? Yeah, let's do it. So they let me come home on good faith. Basically, and I had as much to eat as like all my friends. You know, like I'm an eater. This is what you should know about me. I love food. I say that because I got so nervous watching myself. I don't get that nervous to do the job. I love my job. But watching myself in a theater full of people, I'm still struggling with that one. So I basically, long story short, fainted after the movie onto the sidewalk in my fancy party dress because I had just used – because I didn't want to show how nervous I was. So I just kept, like, masking it. And I wanted to be gracious to all the people who were being so complimentary. So I was like, thank you so much. You know, I'm just going to step outside. Fainted on my face, got the whole side of my face, not scratched up. I took off so many layers of my face that I had to go to, I've never had any work done. I would also like to say that I had to go to a plastic surgeon to peel the layers of skin off because I had rubbed it. I just scratched it so deep. And I fractured my cheekbone. And right. So it was gnarly. I looked at my face and I was like, oh, I mean, everybody was like, I couldn't move I couldn't talk. I could only talk like this. I had to eat like mashed potatoes and Jell-O for days. It was so gnarly. So Monday morning I had to call the producers of Supernatural and I just had to be honest. I was like, okay guys, don't panic. I was like, I'm going to suck it up and don't you worry. It's going to be fine. And I was like, do you guys airbrush? And they were like, yeah. So I showed up, you know, I laid on a mattress Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, did not move, got on a plane, I think Tuesday night, went to work Wednesday morning, took a whole bunch of Advil. They kept airbrushing. We only lost maybe like, you know, probably an hour total as sometimes. Oh, and in the scene, I was like sobbing, crying. So the scene I had to film on Wednesday, but I just kept doing it. The show must go on. I just sucked it up, and they airbrushed my face, and then in between takes, they would re-airbrush it so you couldn't tell. And to this day, you cannot tell what scenes I had a literal broken face for versus the ones I don't. It's
the
craziest story.
It is crazy.
So that's my I broke my face in the middle of filming when the producers let me come home on good faith story. And then just like for How I Met Your Mother fans, because it's such a fun story and they have such good fans too. I played Ted's sister and I was working with, I get to work with the whole cast, which is super fun, but I just think it's so like people don't, I mean, everybody knows how fun Neil Patrick Harris is, but he was literally like, he would before take, they'd be like, okay, rolling sound, which normally when that happens, you kind of just settle down and think about the moment before and you kind of get ready to start. He's such a pro. He'd been doing it since he was like, you know, an embryo. So they would go rolling sound. He would literally like shimmy his shoulders at me and start he was like singing show tunes and like he would just be playing and having fun. And it cracked me up. I was having such a good time that literally by the like a couple days in, I was like, Neil, don't ever stop playing and having fun with me. But I'm just going to need a minute before some scenes to just kind of like, because I don't do this every day like you do, you know? And he was so great. I mean, we still had so much stupid fun filming it. But I just always think that's such a fun memory for fans to think about Neil Patrick Harris just like singing in my face and singing around set. And
I could see him doing that.
I mean, can't you?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Have you seen his Netflix Unfortunate Events?
I haven't seen
series?
It, but I want to.
You need to glance at it because the costumes are amazing. But of course, he is so different in it. You'll be going, wait. Just Neil, you know, it's quite different. So you have to catch one of them just so you can see it, how different it is. So the one last question, I'll have two more things. One is, I know that you've done TV shows, TV red carpets and award shows and conventions, and you've met lots of actors and actresses, and you've done a lot of different things. So tell me, what is your fangirl or geek girl moment when either you met someone that made you geek out a little, that moment when you were like, oh my God, I'm standing beside so-and-so, you know, or something. What was your fangirl or geek girl moment during your career?
I'm going to answer that two ways. And you're right, I've been so lucky the people I've worked with in the different projects, you know. I did a show with Holly Hunter for like half a season. I've done like people that I really, really admire. Terrence Howard. I mean, you know, I could go on and on. But I will say what's funny is I did a short film with Kevin Spacey and I played like his love interest, and I didn't have a fangirl moment at all. I mean, I got excited. I was like, I'm so glad to meet you, Mr. Spacey, you know, whatever. But it was funny. I just was super calm about it. And then afterwards I was like, I worked with Kevin Spacey. That's awesome. And then, so I had like a retrospective fangirl moment, but I would say like the first one that came to mind is, do you know who Alfred Molina is?
I'm going to have to say, I'm not sure.
You know, you definitely do. You just don't know that you do. He's been in everything. When we get off the phone, look him up, Alfred Molina. And those of you who are listening, if you don't already know who he is, like you look him up and you'll be like, oh, that guy from everything. And he's a big theater actor, and I grew up doing theater. So I did an episode of NCIS LA with him. And the first night before I worked with him, I don't know why. Like I said, I don't get nervous very often, mostly just excited. I couldn't sleep. I was tossing and turning. I was like, I'm going to meet Alfred Molina tomorrow. Like it was like I was meeting the president, like Barack Obama, you know. It was like, I was so excited. I couldn't stay in my skin, but I was like nervous, excited. And I got to set and I was almost shaking, and it's so not my personality. I'm pretty confident. And I was like, hello, Mr. Molina. I am so glad to meet you. And he was like, hello, I'm Fred. And then that was it. Like that. I mean, just instantly, just the adorable human. And we got on so well that I invited him and his wife to Thanksgiving. He didn't come, but like, that's how well we got along. So that was one of my like definite biggest, most like, I can't even talk. I'm so nervous right now.
No, I did. I pulled him up real quick. You're right. He has done a gazillion things. You're right. It doesn't pop out his name, but he's done everything.
Right?
So you're right.
Everything. Uh-huh. And then his theater career is just as extensive. Oh, he's just like, oh, I love him.
Speaking of theater, would you do that?
Oh, yeah. I grew up doing theater.
Has it been your fault? Okay.
Oh, definitely. I would love to do. I want to do a play at, you know, the Geffen or in downtown with the Center Theater Group. I have so many friends and people I've worked with that have done plays there. I've been so lucky, touch wood, that I haven't been around long enough to do a play. But definitely, it's been a couple years since that. Gosh. Well, no, that's not true. My charity group, I co-founded a charity group that's drop that right in there. And we do a series of one acts every year to benefit a different charity. So I've done those the last couple of years, but that's been my only time on stage in a substantial time on stage in a few years. And I definitely, you know, depending on how life goes, I'm definitely open to doing it if, you know, the timing allows.
Right. And please, you know, sometimes I get comfortable enough to ask about a charity group or things that people support. And sometimes, you know, it's not appropriate, but I'd love to, for you to share with the fans, what you do and what you support.
Oh, I thank you for asking. Cause I'm in love with my job. You know, she's a cruel mistress when she's being great. I'm so in love with my job. and, but the charity and the stuff that we give back to it's life-giving. So I co-founded a group called Charitable Living, and you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. Just look up Charitable Living. And that is, you know, a group of friends in Los Angeles. We're locally based. We do days of service, you know, anywhere from going and picking up trash on the beach to, dancing with handicapped people at their prom, to volunteering at an elderly home, to calling state senators, to, you know, just we kind of run the gamut on days of service. And then we do, you know, different kind of fundraisers, bigger fundraisers once a year to support different charities. So we have a board, and the board kind of votes on the different charities. And aside from that, this year, my husband and I'm a newlywed, 6 months anniversary, 6 months tomorrow, actually. Thank you. Thank you. He's amazing. He's sitting right next to me being a wonderful husband. And we decided for our year anniversary that we were going to, hold on, baby, say hi.
Hello.
He's a Brit. That wasn't
hello.
A fake accent. She said hello. But yeah, we decided for a year anniversary, we wanted to raise money to build a school in Nepal, because I had been part of a team a couple years ago that built a school in Africa, and I went over to help build it. And we wanted to do that together. And then so many of our friends were so excited and such like really, really like profound yeses that we had to expand. So I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to raise $120,000 and we're going to build a school in Nepal, a school in Africa, and send 10 inner city school kids from America on their own build. And because it just would have felt wrong to build two schools out in the world and then not build, you know, not do something with our kids here. And this particular program we're working with called Build On, it's buildon.org. They work nationally and internationally. So they work with inner city school children from, you know, Detroit, Oakland, New York, really just all over the nation, to work with them in after school programs to send them to school. And then they also do this thing where if they get people that raise money, they will send them on their own build, and they have to earn it. They have to do all these, you know, extracurricular things. And it's kind of like a contest. It's the most beautiful organization. And I think about it every day. We work on it every day. It's like, we call it our unpaid job. So it's like, we are so excited about it.
Thing I'd like for you to share with fans so we can kind of make sure the fans are always following you on Twitter and Facebook and knowing what you have going on is, what are some of your projects coming out in 2017 or things that you can share with us? And how do you want fans to keep up with your current projects?
Oh, thank you for asking. You know, I'll email you my social media card. A friend of mine is brilliant. She made the social media card. So on Facebook, I'm Erin J. Cahill, and you'll see I'm verified and all that. So you'll know it's me. It's like a fan page. And then on Instagram, I'm EJ Cahill, And then on Twitter, I'm AaronJ_Cahill. But I'll email you the social media card if that can go online, if that's easier for people. Facebook is the girl who runs my Facebook. Shout out Karen J. Shee. She is not only a really dear friend, actually introduced me to my husband. So like that's how important she is to me in my life. But she runs the Facebook. Like I can't even put into words how grateful I am. So that's a great way because she will keep everybody abreast of everything. But also I run my, she helps run my Twitter too, but I do kind of tweet some and I do Instagram. That's 100% me. So yeah. And then as far as projects, I mean, I always tell people to go on IMDb at the very least,
okay,
because that's so easy and it's such accessible information. But if you're on my Facebook, like she'll update you. But yeah, it's really fun. Like I have, like you mentioned that the Watcher that just came out on Netflix recently that I'm the lead of opposite mm-hmm. Eddie Gathegi. And that's a really fun one. And that's on Netflix. And then, Cut to the Chase, you can pre-order it right now on iTunes. And then Tuesday it'll be out, everywhere, iTunes, Amazon, everywhere. On demand, the whole
yeah,
thing.
It's going to be on all of it. Yeah.
Yeah, which is so good. And then I have another movie. Oh, shoot. I had a movie just air on Lifetime last Sunday, but that's all right. That's okay. And then, which was great. It was Nanny Seduction. It was with another group of friends, and I had a really fun cameo in that. So if you I'm sure they'll replay it to keep your eyes out. And then I have another movie coming out later this year too, actually, one called Youth Group with it's a rom-com and I'm the love interest, and it's Stephen Baldwin, Donald Faison, Joey Fatone. It's just this great cast. It's such a fun story. I'm so excited. So that comes out later this year. And then another movie that I just finished called Hush Little Baby. And that one's kind of a thriller, and that'll come out later this year too. And then there's another project, Michelle, that I'm dying to tell fans about, but I can't officially announce it until the end of March. But it's something with Sony, and it's something very cool. And I feel like all my Ranger fans and my convention fans will be as excited about it as I am. So I will let you know what that is, or everybody keep your eyes out like the end of March on my social media, because I'll have a really fun announcement.
That's exciting. We will follow just to make sure we find out. So that's great. Well, we truly, truly appreciate your time today, Aaron, to talk about Cut to the Chase. It is an amazing movie, you guys. It's a wonderful thriller. You've got some amazing people in it. And Aaron, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and experience with Cut to the Chase. And we really enjoyed this interview. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me. And just my love, as always, my love to my fans.